in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all, so it's shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more.
Good morning to you listeners. Good morning indeed. Welcome to the Monday, November the 10th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are on the web at freedomadvocates.org, vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info, and most importantly, republicbroadcasting.org. Log on and bookmark those sites today. My name is William Roberts, and I've got, once again, good news in a fashion, hard facts and workable solutions for you today. Although we're going to deal more with facts today and history than solutions and news, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. Today we'll continue our inquiry into this concept of nationalism, but we'll take it in a slightly different direction. I'm going to bring to your attention and read a bit from a booklet called Fatherland, that was written by a psychiatrist or psychologist, Bertram Schaffner. It has to do with authoritarianism in Germany, a study of the German family in post-World War II Germany, occupied Germany. And if time allows, we'll go into a little bit from the Blackstone's commentaries, and then if time still allows, we'll go back and continue a little bit more from our article on nationalism. And I hope over the weekend some of you were able to look into some of this material deeper, perhaps access those archives that were good all of last week. I did receive numerous emails, and I'm well aware that the Friday archives for several broadcasts weren't up, but don't fear. We have them on tape here. You can get studio quality tapes, I guess you can, or perhaps maybe I'll have CDs, or maybe I'll make it up in a way that we can email out. So if you're not already on my receiving list, you can contact me at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org, an email, and just send me an email and say that when I do have it ready for distribution, that you'd like to have part five of our series on nationalism, which is what we're going into even deeper today. This booklet is very interesting, The Fatherland. It's a study of authoritarianism in the German family. It was written by a Bertram Schaffner, S-C-H-A-F-F-N-E-R, M.D., and it was reprinted by the permission of Columbia University Press, for instance. This is a cardstock covered report in book form. It's not very long. It has about 71 pages in it. It was copyrighted in 1948 by the Columbia University Press, and the first printing was in 1948. The second printing, which I have in my hand, was printed in 1949, printed in the United States of America. And I'm going to start with the preface and just give you a little idea of where this is going. But when you understand that the super social scientists have placed the human race, humans, under the microscope, and that the whole idea behind sociology, Auguste Comte's queen of sciences, is in itself profound, then I think we're going to start to understand what kind of a predicament we might find ourselves in. We'll be back right after this first break. Stay with us.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Cartivite is probably the most misunderstood supplement today. Cartivite is packed full of vitamins at cell level to help your whole body function like it used to. Today's diet is lacking in the trace minerals and nutrients our body needs to maintain our good health. Get the toxins and heavy metals out and allow your body to do the job God intended. Made for the heart, Cartivite helps in so many other ways. So order your 4-month special of either the capsules or tincture for just $125 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. That toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. Cartivite, circulation for life.
And we're back. Now we're going to start at the preface of this interesting little booklet, and I'm going to read to you some words that were written by Margaret Mead. She from the American Museum of Natural History. I don't know if any of you have ever made an inquiry into Margaret Mead, but she's certainly wrapped up in the super social science process and sociology, anthropology, the study of man, putting man under the microscope, basically. And as we go through this material, understand that much of what was pioneered in these pages has been perfected on us, at us, and around the world. And so we have an adversary that knows our internal being a little bit more profoundly than you or I might perceive. Beginning, during the recent war years, the American people were faced with the knowledge that we did not know enough to estimate either the strengths or the weaknesses of our enemies, or the strengths and weaknesses of our allies. We had abandoned as untenable old theories which assigned behavior to different national groups on the basis of race, but this left us with no theory to account for the differences between the behaviors of Germans and British, Japanese and Italians. And from our studies last week, we learned a little bit about the importance of race when we talk about nationalism. The formula so popular in the last war that we warred with governments, but not with peoples, had proved inadequate. Poignant experiences with our enemies and our allies reinforced the conviction of those who had to fight or cooperate. that there were important differences between the members of different societies. This conviction was borne in upon us most strongly concerning the Japanese, of whose language and thoughts we knew nothing. When it came to the Germans, however, the whole question was confused by the many common elements in the American and German backgrounds, by the Americans who had lived and studied in Germany, making a surface adjustment to its life and coming away superficially convinced that the Germans were pretty much like ourselves, only neater, which parallels the sort of observation that the British are, of course, very much like us, only stiffer. These generalizations, the Germans being neater, the British being stiffer. Continuing, as it became necessary to try to estimate German intentions, to assess the strength of German morale, and to predict the course of German psychological resistance, groups of American scientists, parenthetically, psychiatrists, anthropologists, psychologists, and sociologists, close parenthesis, pooled their considerable experience in their own fields with very inadequate knowledge of Germany and attempted to work out a set of tentative hypotheses about German culture and the kinds of character structure in which German culture is embodied. Our data were scattered, consisting of early German films or later captured Nazi films. Some literature, various sorts of contraband material, the memories of those who had been reared or educated in Germany, the experience of those who have lived or worked with the Germans. Records from German history could be invoked, but these were always subject to the possibility that the Nazi regime had made some profound change in German culture about which we had no information. However, the need was pressing, both for wartime directives and post-war preparatory thinking. So from our very partial information about Germans, but our much more considerable knowledge about human behavior in other cultures, among the abnormal, during childhood, under different sorts of social arrangements, we constructed various hypotheses about German character, some of which were published in summary form in the roundtable on, quote-unquote, Germany after the war. Then came the invasion, the occupation of Germany, and the opportunity for trained social scientists to test out some of these hypotheses on the spot, in actual fieldwork among Germans in contemporary Germany. Again, the sociologists move in, and whenever the sociologists move in, my dear listeners, the group that they study is altered by the very existence and presence of the sociologist. Continuing, this book is one such effort by a young psychiatrist. After the end of the war, while he was still in Germany in the early part of the occupation, he had glimpsed the possibility of combining the concepts of anthropology and psychiatry in approaching this problem of understanding the Germans. He came back to the United States in December 1945, but returned to Germany in January 1946 to carry out such studies. He made a systematic attack on the problem during his months as psychiatrist for the, note this now, for the screening center established by the Information Control Division of military government, February through August of 1946. Again, that's a screening center, which was established by the Information Control Division of military government. That's U.S. military government. It is a modest attempt to organize a selected body of data and bring it to bear upon one aspect of the hypothesis, that concerning German authoritarianism. Dr. Schaffner asks how we may understand the attitudes which the Germans display towards authority, attitudes different in kind from our own, and crucial to the future of governmental forms in Germany, and therefore crucial to the future of Europe and the world. Taking the hypothesis developed by psychiatrists and anthropologists that early family life may be used as a key to understanding of culturally regular character, he examines material on family life. He works as a scientist, taking in hypothesis and submitting it to the test of specified materials. He defines his task narrowly and keeps within the bounds that he has set. Are you with us now? Experience has shown that understanding about peoples and among peoples can be promoted by the clear statement of some of their very simple distinctive themes which run through their lives. Without an enormous paraphernalia of documentation from the library and the clinic, this is such a statement, giving to the lay reader, briefly, a set of working ideas about Germany, in terms of which the news of our occupation policy, the fate of German elections, the whole question of the future of Germany, should become clearer and more intelligible. If we see science as an increasing men's understanding and control over human affairs, as well as over natural phenomena, then one of the necessary tasks of the scientist is to state the steps in this, developing understanding in a form which they can use, not only by some remote specialist, but by all who must think and act in a rapidly changing world. And Dr. Schaffner's book is such a statement, that written by Margaret Mead, 1947. A rapidly changing world. If we can see science as increasing man's understanding and control over human affairs, is that the purpose of science? Increasing man's understanding and control over human affairs, as well as other natural phenomena? Immediately coming to mind there is weather modification and other aspects of the United Nations Agenda 21 program of action for the 21st century sustainable development. This concept of coming in and putting the German people under a microscope for the purpose of the future of Europe and the future of the world, and for the purposes of determining what forms of government should exist in Germany. In other words, the benevolence of the United States, Great Britain, and the Allies, looking at how we can restructure the social, the cultural, the moral, and the intellectual life of the German people. And when I read this kind of a booklet and think of places like Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan, Iran, and other places around the world, the 100-and-some-odd countries that we have forces in, then it calls to the forefront the importance of understanding what is happening even here in our own schools. And much of what we're going to read and hear about this morning has been applied on your children in public schools. And so many of us, having been born in the post-World War II era, grew up in schools all over the United States, in Alaska, Hawaii, and elsewhere, where these techniques were being utilized on us, unaware. Our parents knew nothing about it. They were just sending us to school, brushing our hair, making sure we brushed our teeth, clean clothes, all pressed and shiny, all the little lunch bags set out by the door, and we pick up our lunch bags and we walk to the bus and we ride to school. And then the indoctrination began. And so today we're somewhat of a product of this information screening. Let's go into the foreword. In October 1945, a small consultation center for the selection of German personnel was established in the United States zone in Germany. And we'll have to come back to that zone right after this zone. Stay with us.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins. Lower blood sugar levels. Annihilate acid reflux. Lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart and Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
I'll start over again. I just started into that sentence. In October of 1945, a small consultation center for the selection of German personnel was established in the United States zone in Germany, and it was part of the Information Control Division and was known as the ICD Screening Center. Can you say Abu Ghraib? Can you say Guantanamo Bay? The details of its operation are described in the text of Dr. Schaffner's book. The center was closed in August of 1946, so he was there approximately 8 months. And then presupposes that he can come and tell us all about the German people after such a brief study. During the period of its operation, continuing here, it offered a unique opportunity for psychiatric examination of the Germans. Do you ever feel like perhaps your children are participating in a psychiatric evaluation of the Americans? Have you ever felt as though perhaps by answering and responding to any of the multiple questionnaires that come in your mailbox from some marketing company that there might be a opportunity for psychiatric examination of Americans being conducted in exchange for a handful of coupons, perhaps? Dr. Schaffner, continuing again here, joined the staff in January of 1946 and shortly thereafter was the sole psychiatrist in attendance. The psychiatric studies were made in combination with the work of a political analyst. And a psychologist. So here we have a psychiatrist, a political analyst, and a psychologist. Besides the conferences in which every case was discussed by members of the staff, there were three members in the staff, and they had conferences. There were numerous conversations with a large body of American investigators whose fieldwork was embodied in the numerous reports. At the same time, there was access to the publications of the Information Control Division, which contained first-hand reports on many aspects of German activities, no doubt, with special consideration of German public opinion. Do you remember we've spoken in the past year on Become Vocal Local, the writings of A.V. Dicey and his book, Law and Opinion and Public Opinion as it Shapes Law and Legislation? We went into that. We'll go back to it again. But here's this concept of special considerations of German public opinion. Throughout this entire election cycle, have not there been numerous opinion polls going, and have the people, have the world controllers not been getting a sense and reading the sense of the people as they respond to the various puppets that the ventriloquists put before us? What people did, how they responded, what they would donate to, who they would support, who they would vote for, and so on. Considerable special consideration of the German public opinion was being gathered here. Dr. Schaffner, returning again to this text, made full use of the opportunity available to explore the German mentality. As this book clearly indicates, before joining the staff, he was already familiar with the German scene through previous periods of work and study in Germany. Is that prior to the war? Was that between World War I and World War II? It's not specified here. It's left to our own investigation to find out. Of the psychological tests that were employed at the Information Center, Dr. Schaffner made special use of the, quote-unquote, incomplete sentences. This is a technique, incomplete sentences. This is a fill-in-the-blank, if you will. This particular test requires some explanation. A second revision was used, and the phraseology of the sentences was determined by experience during the interviews. When the final form had been worked out, the sentences were written in English and then translated into German. After testing again in that form, several of them were rephrased. The final selections were made with certain criteria in mind, and here they are. One, an elaborate reply, however difficult the problem of scoring, was considered preferable to a straight yes or no. Excuse me. Therefore, sentences were eliminated that yielded total agreement or disagreement, and those selected permitted replies sufficiently diverse to allow a spread into several classifications. Two, diversity of replies was scorable in a roughly quantitative way. When the completions were too diverse for scoring, they were eliminated. Three, test sentences were thrown out when it was found that they contained ambiguous words, or in general, did not have the same meaning to most of the people tested. So here they're giving us an idea of the kinds of questions that they asked, and perhaps the kinds of questions teachers and counselors are asking your children in school, or perhaps someone in the mental health screening division of your local health department when you're applying for welfare or food stamps or mortgage relief. Continuing, it was intended to develop a series of revisions for the purpose of eliminating weaker items, of building up parallel series, and of testing out new ideas. Consider the incomplete sentence. Quote, when a mother demonstrates affection for her children with kisses and hugging, ... close quote. Consider that, and we'll be back right after this intermission.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
And once again, we are back. Now, how would you answer that question, listeners? When a mother demonstrates affection for her children with kisses and hugging, how would you answer the rest of that? How would you fill it in? How would you respond to a question like that? You know, obviously, that you're in the information screening division. You're sitting down with Bertram Schaffner, a psychologist, and your mind is on the under the microscope. How would you respond to that kind of a question? Here, I'll let me continue. It was found that the words demonstration of affection alone were too vague. They did not imply physical demonstration. The word physical could not be used because of the implications of something crass. To use the word kisses and leave out hugging would complicate matters, since a kiss on the forehead before the child goes to bed was a convention which did not necessarily indicate affection in a number of cases. The final forms were all worked out in this manner, often by a previous trial and error process. It was learned through previous studies that physical demonstration of affection on the part of the mother is unusual in Germany after the years of infancy. Is that true? In inquiries made as part of the psychiatric interviews of a group of known Nazis and anti-Nazis, it was found that there was a significant difference between the two groups in this regard. Maternal demonstration of affection occurred much more frequently in the anti-Nazi group. Is that true? Does political affiliation change a mother's love for her child? The psychologist seems to think so. The sentence was phrased in a manner that was learned by experience to be most clearly understood. That German completion of this sentence is quite different from the American way, can be tested only by the reader. It is unusual to get the type of reply the German gives so frequently, namely that this is something to be condemned. The love of a mother for her children is something to be condemned. The sentence, continuing here, the sentence concerning the mother who interferes when the father is punishing his sons was derived from many interviews. It appeared that most German mothers, whether they agreed with the punishment or not, whether they regarded it as just or unjust, placidly, the insertion of that word, placidly, accepted the fact without doing anything about it, even to discussing it afterwards. Both Germans and Americans who completed the sentence agreed that it shouldn't be done. Both Germans and Americans that completed the sentence agreed that a father punishing his son shouldn't be done. However, the elaboration was different. The most common American reply is to the effect that the mother should talk to the father about it later, that the parents should show a united front, and so on. The German's reaction is much stronger. He appears to be outraged at the possible loss of paternal authority involved. He makes much more of an issue of the problem. This sentence was used for its provocative value, to get an elaboration that would reveal the stress played on authority. It is rather a difficult test to score, nevertheless, as Dr. Schaffner's final findings reveal. There are a number of Germans who respond to this question quite differently from others. Perhaps it's an individual orientation. Perhaps it has biblical orientation. Perhaps it has something to do with how you were raised. Perhaps it would have something to do whether or not one believes in absolutes and thou shalt nots. Perhaps it was just not loosey-goosey enough to fit into the mold that was being planned for the United States of America in post-World War II America. The hippie, dippy weatherman. The incomplete sentences, quote, when a man expresses his political opinions, his wife should, ... was designed to stimulate responses that would give some indication as to the male German's attitude toward women. It was designed primarily for that purpose. Some critics may argue that these sentences were, quote-unquote, loaded. They were. They were, quote-unquote, loaded to bring out a variety of attitudes. In fact, all of them educed a variety of responses. These responses could be measured against each other and against findings in other numerous investigations. In utilizing the results of this particular test, Dr. Schaffner selected one of the number that allowed the use of a statistical method. Important. The replies, however, were consistent with many other findings. This book, again, the book I'm reading from, this book, it is hoped, will stimulate further psychiatric investigations on this topic. The study of national psychology, there we go, nationalism, national psychology, is in its early beginnings in 1945. The study of national psychology is in its early beginnings. We've been studying from the 1930s edition of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences on an article that was researched and written for that encyclopedia by Max Hildebert Bohm. In the formulation of programs of policy for winning the peace, haven't we heard that before? Policies for winning the peace, which in the case of Germany is expressed in the words, quote unquote, denazify and demilitarize. The primary requirement is an understanding of the psychology of the German people. The modification of that psychology is the main task of military government. I'll say that again. It bears reiterating. The modification of that psychology is the main task of military government. It's not sufficient to win the war. We must change the minds of the subjected. And that was written by a Dr. David M. Levy. in 1947 in New York. Here's an acknowledgement. This acknowledgement was penned by Bertram Shafter in 1948, also while he was in New York. I wish to express my deep gratitude to Dr. Richard Brickner and the other members of the Roundtable Conference on, quote-unquote, Germany after the war. Dr. Brickner's psychiatric approach to the problem of German national character originally aroused my interest in this study. Through his efforts, I was able to return to Germany to do the field work here reported. Dr. Margaret Mead was very helpful in pointing out anthropological aspects of the analysis of a culture. I was fortunate in being asked by Dr. David M. Levy to work with him in the Information Control Division screening center, which he had set up in Germany. This provided the opportunity to make psychiatric studies on a rewarding and instructive group of Germans. While I was at the screening center, I had the benefit of Dr. Levy's wide experience in the scientific investigation of human behavior. Again, where are your children this morning? Are they in a public school? Are they in a private school, or are you homeschooling them? Are they sitting on the floor today listening to this broadcast, perhaps? I hope so. But if not, what's happening with your children, and who's talking to them, and who's asking them questions? Who's screening them? Who's asking them to complete the sentences? Perhaps they're completing sentences about you and your home life. After all, we've perfected this system against the Germans and carry it around the world with us. Certainly, we bring it at home. Here's the first, first chapter. The first chapter in Mr. Bertram Schaffner's text. Why are Germans German, he asks. Big question mark at the top. Why are Germans German? How does a German become German? How does a child, born into this world without preconceived ideas about the land of his birth, develop the emotional and intellectual patterns which stamp him so clearly and characteristically as a member of the German people once he has grown to maturity? This is the recurring, insistent question today for those who are working in Germany, and a question which we must answer before we can proceed with any reformation or re-education of Germans. The reformation and re-education of Germans. How a German becomes German is not the only question to be answered. There are 100 others. For example, we should like to know why, despite all their superficial variations, Germans are basically so much alike, so homogeneous. Why isn't Germany a nation of individualists, quote-unquote, like its neighbor, France? Why did its people, in a world that was striving towards freedom and relaxation of restrictions, reject those freedoms and prefer a highly organized, rigid form of government? How could so many of them enthusiastically support the most extreme dictatorship in modern history? How will they react to the proposed experiment in democratic government? The experiment in democratic government. Are we making the world safe for democracy? Can a democratic government ever, I'll just set that there, I'm on the air, caller, and let's leave it. Can a democratic government ever take root among Germans as we know them? What is the clue to the development of their character? Is the complex of reaction patterns which we label German merely the product of indigenous newspaper, radio, and political propaganda? Refocusing my mind after the phone call, how could so many of them enthusiastically support that most extreme dictatorship in modern Germany? Repeating. How will they react to a proposed experiment in democratic government? You know, so much of what I read in Mein Kampf and other documents, so much was a struggle against the encroaching socialist communist state that gave rise to national socialism. How will they react to the proposed experiment in democratic government? Can a democratic government ever take root among Germans as we know them? What is the clue to the development of their character? Is the complex of reaction patterns which we label German merely the product of indigenous newspaper, radio, and political propaganda? Is it the end result of a supervised, standardized education in the public schools? Where and at what age does German indoctrination begin? You know, when we study nationalism, and as we go further into this text, I wanted to break it at this point and bring in some this material in particular so that we can understand that nationalism in and of itself could be a natural phenomena, but at the same time it can be inculcated and indoctrinated. Today Hussein is contemplating the development of a youth forces, volunteerism required for all people. So many hours of community service. It's like we've all been sentenced to something here. Have we committed some kind of a crime that we're Americans? Are we now under the microscope under a Hussein regime? What is the clue to the development of their character? Is this complex of reaction patterns, which we label German, merely the product of an indigenous newspaper, radio, and political propaganda? How heavily have we been propagandized? Do we even know who we are? And when we're out and about in our communities developing local voting precinct groups and we're talking to people, what great hurdles are we going to have to overcome? What indoctrinations have they been exposed to? Is the end result of supervised standardized education? Is it the end result of supervised standardized education in the public schools? Where and at what age does German indoctrination begin? The writer, being a psychiatrist, has naturally concentrated his study on individuals, but he could not limit it to the individual German. The study of any human being involves an examination of background, social environment, and the whole family constellation, father, mother, grandparents, brothers, and sisters and neighbors, from the time of his earliest experiences onward. To that, one must add acquaintances with his schooling, work, the books and newspapers that he reads. In short, the whole battery of cultural influences that play upon him. The study of one person automatically grows into the study of his family and all his interpersonal relations. The study of the family leads into a scrutiny of the neighborhood, then of the city, and then of the wider social structure. Unless one understands the relationships between the individual and all these groups and institutions, one is at a loss to understand the man and his behavior. And we wonder why the NSA is snooping and pooping on us on a regular basis. What makes the study of the German family so crucial is the remarkable parallel between the rules that govern it and the credos of national political life. The parallelism and similarity cannot be merely coincidental. The policy of a German government, the behavior of the men who speak in its name, cannot be entirely unrelated to the whole body of doctrines and training on which that government rests. In other words, the people, my friends. Values and principles which seem self-evident to the adult and sufficient reason for him to support national policy must have been inculcated very early in his life. A study of the German family tends to show that in this case, as in all cultures, indoctrination begins in the child's earliest training. Are we indoctrinating our children? Or are we in love passing on our cultures, our traditions, our religions, our holidays, our loves, our lives, our beliefs? In the eyes of this particular fellow, he seems to think that it's all indoctrination. And certainly, if you understand these techniques and use a computer to help you out, and we certainly have much better computers today, HAL wasn't the only computer then, but HAL was certainly IBM's creation that was being used to classify the Germans. The emotional potency of ideals is derived from the sanction given them in the first few years of life. The family prepares the child for its place in a social system. It is the family which is the psychological agent of society, quote unquote. The study of the development of the child therefore helps us to understand the mechanisms at work in the adult, in the larger, quote unquote, family life of the nation. It is, of course, true that no people has developed into its modern form isolated or apart from the rest of mankind, but we are examining the question of German character from the point of view of why it's developed historically into what it is, but how a young German born yesterday or today is molded under present-day conditions to fit the traditional pattern. How is the specific cultural pattern transmitted from generation to generation? How does it persist so stubbornly? Whence comes its remarkable continuity? We'll be back. Contemplate this, folks. It's coming on us and at us in your hometown.
Is the world getting better or vastly worse? The world economic collapse could come any day. Question, are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question, do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
We're back. In the shortest segment of today's broadcast, I guess I failed to give out the call-in numbers, but you all know which they are, and if you're on the internet, you can see them displayed right there on your screen. This is, I hope, been very interesting information for you today. We'll conclude this study in this way. He says, he continues here, he says, it is, of course, true that no people has developed into its modern form isolated or apart from the rest of mankind. At least he acknowledges that. But we are not examining the question of German character from the point of view of why it developed historically into what it is. So we throw away all of the history of the people. It is There's just something about this guy that really bugs me. It bugs me. This guy really rubs me the wrong way. But we are repeating again, we are not examining the question of German character from the point of view of why it developed historically into what it is, but how a young German born yesterday or today is molded under present day conditions to fit the traditional pattern. How is the specific cultural pattern transmitted from generation to generation? How does it persist so stubbornly? Whence comes its remarkable continuity? You see the mind going on here? The mindset? How can we destroy the fabric of a people? How long do we have to leave the northern and the southern borders open to destroy the people? Interesting, huh? Going in a little bit deeper, we must acknowledge the importance of the historical, geographic, and economic factors which leave their imprint on every culture over the centuries. But this study is concentrated on the psychological forces and interpersonal relations in the German family and German society as they exist today, as they function to prepare the child for his life and his role as an adult in the Vaterland. We must know these factors before we can answer the next question. Where can we interrupt the circle of German education? At what stage in a young German's life should we intervene in order to exert the greatest influence in changing the course of character formation today? Shall we meet the children of tomorrow for the first time when he comes into school or into the kindergartens? Is that too late in his life? Or should we meet his mother and father instead while he is still an infant in their arms, or perhaps even before he has been born? At what point can we make the most significant interruption of the psychological vicious circle? Family, society, society, family. And this is from the United States of America. This sounds like a plank right out of the Communist Manifesto. The destruction of the family. No study is ever complete, our author concludes, and this one is no exception. It refers only in passing to certain romantic, anarchic, and mystical features of the German character. These are also rooted in the German family, but the techniques for observing and measuring them were not available when this study was made. Therefore, this book follows the principal thread in German life, authoritarianism, from its starting point in the family into the education of the children and the political life of the adult. There are forces at work, folks, and we need to be very, very aware of them. We're taken aback one precinct, one county, and one state at a time. My name is William Roberts. Thank you for listening, and until the next time, good day.
Tell you why.